Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
All right, we're finally ready to go here. We're rolling, and Rod Gontos.
But I leave you alone for 2 weeks. Okay,
and look what
you have—the run of a station. I'm not here on Wednesdays, and it's a total mess when I come.
We got to get you to sit up, though, otherwise you're being blocked by the mic. So
if you guys are watching, I'd like to do a write-in campaign, please. I want you guys to all write in to Paul Roberts,
get a lower
OCTalkRadio.net to get better. Less obstructing hardware here.
Brutal.
Because I'm basically, I feel like the Omen, you know, like the priest that gets like sliced, but you know,
just
something
sit up for, straight, like your mother always tried to tell you. So you're perfect when you do that.
See, there you go. There's the boomer again trying to tell an Xer what to do. Okay, that's not cool.
Well, let's bring in the millennials then.
Okay, it's a punch out now. But actually, it's good to have, it's good to be back in the studio.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be back in the studio after being gone for 2 weeks.
And I have were you for the 2 weeks? Tell us that.
I actually was in Egypt 2 weeks ago for a furniture expo.
Yeah.
And we actually were able to do a live show from Egypt. So kudos and hats off to you for coordinating that. Technology is amazing. Oh, look, he's feeling guilty now. He's trying to move this.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
And then last week... Yeah, just you slouch,
right,
I'll sit up.
Right, we'll even it out.
See, this is like, this is such a controlling boomer thing going on here, right?
I'm not really sure where to go.
He likes us on edge like that.
That's right.
So and then last week I was in Cancun. We went down for a wedding, friend's wedding. So we were in Cancun some last Wednesday about 4 or 5 days, and it took me 2 days in Cancun to even figure out what time zone I was in.
Yeah,
huge jet setter.
In a way it's good, in a way it's bad. My system was a mess. I mean, I was like, I didn't know what way it was up. Food was great in Egypt, but it was like, you know, you're changing diets. And so, you know, we're going to talk about it. But you know, there's this thing where you actually have to have a conscious awareness, a regimen of wellness.
Okay.
Right? Because life throws so much at you. And I know this is an extreme case of where you're in different time zones in the course of a week. But the joke was, I'm in the shadows of one civilization's pyramid 1 week, and then I'm in the shadows of another one the other week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it really puts the emphasis on the fact that as we get older, especially, because I'm like, you know, I didn't bounce back like, oh, I'm off a plane in Cancun, let's go to Playa del Carmen, come on, let's party it up, right?
Mini bar.
For medicinal purposes after a certain age, though, right?
Absolutely.
I'm like, you know, can I have more of that? No, no ice, thank you very much.
Right.
But so I think we don't talk about it enough as a society. I mean, it's getting a little bit more play, and I've been kind of involved in this pondercy since about 98.
That's great.
So I remember when it was like totally fluff. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It was totally fluff. It was a pampering luxury thing that you did. You got that massage, you know, and everyone went like, oh, I'll get Swedish. And then everybody found, oh, deep tissue, I'll get deep tissue. And then, you know, and then if you were kind of a little bit more conscious, you'd do a facial. But that tended to be a little bit more...
But it was luxury.
Luxury,
not necessity.
Very luxury.
And now there is a yoga center or a massage center on almost every street corner.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. I was presenting on Monday to a group of spa practitioners in Santa Ana. And I said, you know, it's so prevalent. It's almost like a Starbucks on every corner at some point, right? And it doesn't mean that everything is good quality.
Right.
But there's a curiosity enough that makes that viable, that people are popping up all the time. Some of them stay around. Some of them, you know, go out of business. But there is a need, I think, to explore something. I don't know what I need, but I need something, you know, and it's sort of wellness. And people are trying to get their arms around it. And it's very personal. I mean, your regimen of wellness can vary from one person to the other extremely, right? I mean,
right. And I think kudos to us as a society that has moved in the direction of that. That's one thing maybe we're doing right? If nothing else, we're moving in the direction of being conscious of ourselves and our future and the way that we're aging and how to do that gracefully.
Right. And regardless of age.
True.
We had a guy here. We had.
So you don't wait until you're my age to suddenly go, oh, shoot, I should have taken better care of myself.
You should not.
Paul, I believe.
But
it's actually better than you think, because last year, Paul.
Yeah.
Actually had. Was it your first or second massage?
On air, my second massage of my life.
On the air, here. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Spa Gregory came in and gave him an in-chair massage, and I will spare you the sounds that came out of Paul.
Yeah. I was going to ask, but right? Did he fall asleep?
Was there drool involved?
Yeah.
He drooled. He drooled, and he said things like, yes, thank you, may I have another?
You know what was the hardest part, though, for me to do, and this is going to sound silly to you guys here, but I'm not used to people touching me like that.
That's an
I'm a guy, common, and I'm common. A Midwestern mm-hmm. guy,
yeah.
And yeah, maybe my wife touches me, and that means something different, but nobody else is supposed to. I'm not used to women just sort of touching me like
that's
that.
That's a very regular, common response.
I actually felt very uncomfortable doing it at first, and I had to sort of relax and get into it.
You know, from where I was sitting, it didn't take you very long to get comfortable.
Because it feels incredible. It does.
Right.
It really does. And like Corey said, it's something that we see very commonly.
Especially
in our
with older people, probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, it formally aging.
Season.
Older.
Season. But there we go. I like season. We'll
rub your salt and pepper on your beard. There you go.
Yeah. It typically... Are we good?
Yeah.
Is this where
we just want to hear that.
He's just a boomer. Ignore him.
Yeah,
it's okay. We love him to death, but he's a curmudgeon in the corner.
Well, if we could, I'll just jump right into some stats I have for you.
Before you do, though.
Okay.
Okay, I want you guys to introduce yourselves.
Oh, yeah. Let's start.
That would help.
Because I told people, you know, when I did the little buzz about, you know, hey, look, listen in today, I said, sisters massaging seniors.
That's it,
yeah.
Really.
Wow,
it.
What a tagline.
Does it take
it's
more?
True. So,
what a tagline. You guys are sisters?
We are.
Yeah.
Because you don't...
Prescription time.
I don't see... Maybe I've seen the face a little
more. He is a boomer,
huh?
Yeah. I'm telling you, see? Like, this is what I have to deal with every week,
yeah.
Right?
You don't okay? look... I wouldn't Thank have, you. I wouldn't have picked you two as sisters, right?
Can you guys come every week? Because I need a little on this side.
We'd love to come every week.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, one of you has
until we start fighting
one of you has brown hair.
Graying hair, thanks.
That's
really nice. Honest. We have that. We actually are sisters. We're going to admit that on air now.
Wow.
And we're in business together.
And I can't imagine which
sisters.
One of you is younger,
yeah.
Which one
How
of you is
How long
older?
You guys been in business
look,
together?
We've
like
been in business
Irish
together.
Twins.
The business has
Irish
been around twins, for 4 years. We've been in business together for two.
Mm-hmm.
The business is Massage Inc. And I came in with a background as a massage therapist. Evan came in with a background in business and logistics. And we started seeing that populace, like you were mm-hmm. talking about, of all these massage centers popping up and yoga centers, and started thinking about, to us, the people that mattered the most, the people that were kind of behind a veil and maybe could not get to those services,
mm-hmm.
people that are living in locations where they need assistance and maybe without transportation and such. So we created this little shindig called Massage Inc. to provide quality and affordable massage to residents of only assisted living centers, memory care facilities, and planned communities.
Wow.
Which
have an idea.
Which is...
Thank you.
And why would... Are you both... I'm Irish, so I'm always flattered
Irish.
For everybody's Irish here. Right.
We're all in good company.
So we're back. Yeah.
All in good company, huh? Well, I have the Irish whiskey here. We'll start pouring it for you.
Not until the Christmas show, remember?
Oh, I don't know if we
too
could wait
soon?
That long.
Yeah.
And we even have... You probably
okay, that was a disclaimer, by the way.
We have both. We have both Jameson and Bushmills, because depending if you're Irish or Protestant, Northern or Southern, I happen to be... Catholic, so I only have to drink Jameson's. I can't drink.
And you have it here.
Oh yeah, no. We had a crackling fire going on YouTube, and we were drinking single malt, you know, for Christmas.
It started
as
a joke, and now people bring me all these oddball Irish.
But we did talk about something, and again, going back to like so personal this thing, right?
Yes,
very.
Okay?
That you know, if you not the healthiest thing to do on the planet, but if part of your wellness, giving to yourself self-care, self-love, is mm-hmm. to smoke that cigar on a Wednesday night,
mm-hmm.
have a little shot
that
at something,
relaxes you, yeah,
okay,
right.
then that's part of your wellness regimen.
It's yours, yeah.
My grandmother in her 90s would have a little bit of whiskey every night. She was like the George Burns, man. Her cigarette sucking was in her mouth hanging like this all the time. But that woman lived until like 98, okay, and lived on her own terms, and you know was fully there until mm-hmm. she passed away.
My aunt's 92, and she swears that a little bit of brandy every night is worth a little bit of brandy.
That's
I say,
right.
Are you drinking? No, just for me, cough.
Right, just a little bit.
Slips into the Irish accent, right? Yeah.
So this thing, is so timely what you guys are doing. I mean, you're focusing, I understand, on the senior community, which is amazing because even in this multi-billion dollar industry, the spa industry, this wellness industry, that is something that I find is lacking. I mean, if
Absolutely. And
I don't know whether it's, I mean, I had doctors that I did medical spas for, designed medical spas for, that weren't comfortable. They were just squeamish about even dealing with people with disability. Well, so I don't know if there's an aspect of that that just in general people's comfort levels are a little, even though they're a caregiver or therapist, that
it,
there's
it
a...
It can be, but when you break that barrier, both parties find that it's so beneficial.
So how do you break that barrier as a therapist?
Well...
You're talking about dealing with older
people. Yeah, I mean, let's just talk about you guys.
Is there a level?
Yeah, where's that comfort level come from? Is it generational?
All massage therapists are in the industry because they have a drive and a passion to give to others and care. So there's on that regard, there's not a comfort level. For the patient, however, as Paul said, you may not be accustomed to receiving touch from, you know, male or female or just any other person. But once that barrier is, you know, broken down, you realize the benefits. And
but I'm going to challenge you on this, okay? Because we I really try to delve deeper in the show about, especially with my guests, like, what is it that motivated you guys to go in this direction? I mean, obviously, there's a business industry and there's a business, you know, potential there.
Yeah, what's the why, though?
But
right?
Why?
What's the why?
Yeah. Because
Simon Sinek
I agree. You know, massage therapists are, we joke when we go to these conferences that we're basically a hug industry.
Yeah,
everybody hugs
everybody.
You know, somebody goes to shake your hand, you look, you're an oddball. Did you just show up here or what? But we're very touch, right? And human beings are very touch programmed.
Yep.
But yet, if that was the case, then you'd have everybody massaging seniors.
Right.
So what is the why for you guys?
Well, I can jump in here. The why was exactly that. It's the seniors. Evan and I are fortunate enough to share a belief that we do believe this country was built on the backs of what is right now our, it's not baby boomer, our geriatric community. We believe that the residents of our, the clients, sorry, that we have worked really hard to build this really great country that Evan and I as millennials are being able to experience and enjoy as young businesswomen. So giving back to them was really important to us. Our slogan became to be massaging the people who matter most. Mm-hmm. And Evan can jump into this a little bit more.
So we matter most here?
Oh, we do.
We're here. I'm not going to get too political, but like we really enjoy a lot of things in this time and place as young women in business that we didn't pay for it.
Somebody paved the path for it.
Right.
Them.
Like, we just showed up, and we have,
you know,
all these opportunities.
It's funny you say that.
We stand on the shoulders of giants.
I'm
61, and so I have a, I don't know what your ages are here, but I have a daughter who's 25, so you must be somewhere around those neighborhood or something. Here.
Yes. Little Evan is.
Yeah. Well, she's so young looking. And what?
She's the older one.
Oh, she's the older one. Huh? We're going to have to figure this out, because I can't tell. Can you tell which one's older or younger?
We'll keep you guessing.
Age is just a number.
Oh, okay. Here's the point.
That was politically correct.
Right? Rod said, when he first started the show, we started this bantering, and he said, I want to thank you on behalf of all of us that the baby boomers opened up a whole world of possibilities that didn't exist before. And I said, I guess I'd never thought of it.
He actually was kind of blown away. Like,
we
somebody
broke
was
down barriers.
For
you can be yourself. You can find yourself.
Yeah.
Women can get involved with civil rights and minorities. And we were part of that whole era that sort of brought this openness and be what you want to be. Now, at our age, we're still thinking we're 30. I still look like I'm dressed. I feel like I'm mentally 30
right
here.
On.
We haven't grown up. We're the Peter Pan generation. We still think we're perennially 30 or 20 or whatever here. And so we haven't really learned how to adjust to this old age that we're entering into. It doesn't. I look in the mirror and I say, who's that old man?
Yeah. But there's no defined language for it, given your generation.
Exactly.
Opportunity there.
Exactly. We don't know how to describe it. We're uncomfortable with all the terms about it and everything. And yet, we were the first generation, my parents never thought of this, that we're going to live to be 90 or 100, and therefore we are going to take care of ourselves much better than our parents ever thought of.
Yes, because science is changing, medicine is advancing.
My parents never exercised or worried about how they ate or anything else or what they drank.
So, it's a give back. I get it, right? I also know that we all live in a community in South County, which is very multi-generational in nature.
True.
Right? There's a lot of families there that are, you know, two, three generations that have been in at least in that same locale, right? And it's not uncommon in San Clemente. It's not this sort of transitional California experience where everybody's from somewhere else, right?
Right.
So we see that. I mean, we see that multi-generational, and then there's a lot of volunteer involvement for people that give back.
And yet, as you
and you live
out,
and you see that on a daily basis, right? It's a living thing in front of you.
And yet, as you pointed out, that multi-generational pattern is breaking down because houses cost so much money. And we ain't moving anywhere. So the baby boom are staying in place and aging in place. We're not moving out to the desert. We're still here and not freeing up the housing.
And we're getting out of town.
And you're getting out of town because the housing is going through the roof.
And that on a policy level, I think, is a mistake that we really should get in front of because we could find ourselves behind the eight ball real bad.
Yeah, we could be one giant retiree community here. Yeah,
so, North County. So, that's cool. I mean, but do you guys have? I mean, do you have extended families in San Clemente? Are you guys just from nearby areas? Does that factor in where you have a personal relationship with older people in your family?
We do. We have a personal connection to this. We strongly believe in what we're doing because we have a deep rooted relationship with our grandparents. Our grandparents that unfortunately have passed, and the ones that we still have now, and we feel somewhat of an obligation, like Corey said, to give back to the generation for paving the path for us to allow us these rights and these abilities to be young businesswomen. And with Corey's experience in massage, we found that it's been so therapeutic and helpful to them in their wellness and as they age into the sunset years. And so
probably for you guys too.
Absolutely.
It keeps us
connected.
Are
just
your parents
as well
still alive?
Were they supportive
of this?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Our whole family has been supportive of this. And just to clarify, our business, because the headquarters where we work is in San Clemente, and we're pretty connected and plugged into just making San Clemente great because it's hometown for myself anyway. But our business is from Ventura County to La Jolla in Southern California, and Tucson
in Arizona.
Tucson, so you go all the way out there.
And we're looking at Florida right now.
We're launching in Florida now as well.
And what do you? I'm still struggling to see what you do though. Do you get called in by the patient?
So,
do you get called in by the facility?
So now that we've established the why,
let's talk about the how, and
what do you guys do?
Yeah.
Okay, so what we do, actually, when we launched Massage Inc., we found that we may have bit off a bit more than we can chew, meaning from a business standpoint, relations from as an employer to massage therapists, we've created a company that is creating new jobs for the market, a class of its own, providing employment to massage therapists in the elder care industry where being a massage therapist or operating independently isn't possible. So
why isn't it possible? Why can't I just be a therapist and go out and visit old folks and give them a massage?
Because there's so much liability involved.
Yeah. Right.
So what we've done is we've bridged this gap. You can't just be a gal who's going out and offering massages to those who are living, and especially in independent and memory care facility. There's too much liability, and also there's not enough training. So anyway, that's a whole other
business. Will they even let you into the facility?
That too, right? You need to have a reputation. Why would you just let anyone into someone's private room?
That's exactly. And they're very well, the gatekeepers on those facilities are
absolutely
very solid.
And they should be.
And they should be, right, they're a very vulnerable population. But I can only imagine that if you're doing a treatment on somebody and that person basically has memory loss, that the realities that you are dealing with during the duration of that massage is completely different from a situation where somebody who doesn't have that.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could easily forget where they were.
Right.
And freak out and worry. And if you are not ready to bring them kind of down and train properly.
Yeah.
And I mentioned something on that video when I did it before the show. It's like, you know, I moderated a panel on dementia for the KSM Care Foundation exhibition. Carrie's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I had Patty Mouton from Alzheimer's, and I had a couple other people in there. And we talked about innovative therapies specifically for dementia.
Good.
And you have things like aromatherapy.
Yep.
You have things like sound and music if you question it, just think for a split second, you hear a song play on the radio and it throws you back 20 years and you go, oh yeah, I remember that summer,
whatever, right? I can go back 50 years.
Exactly. Or the smell. Oh yeah, I remember that. That reminded me of that meal I had, whatever, or I was walking down the street. I mean, my sister is a perfect example of that. She smells this thing and she's like back to being 15 somewhere, right? So those are solid memories, right? And yet what we're talking about is an industry that actually, if you think about going to a massage room, the smells,
right,
the sounds, and they are basically just back,
touch.
But and they're mostly background, right? They're mostly, in many cases, just sort of part of the ambience, mm-hmm. but not a therapeutic infused element, where in the case of somebody with dementia or an environment where it's assisted living, it could be really a powerful thing.
Can I give you a strange example? Yeah. We were talking before the show about how one of you has a little child, has a little...
I have a 19-month-old son who's obsessed with trash trucks.
Trash trucks, as we were talking about. And so we have Waste Management sponsors some shows, so we give them a plug here, and we have some trash trucks in the studio. Ooh, we're talking about how my grandson, who's going to be 3 this month, is also obsessed with trash trucks, and what makes them remember, will they remember this stuff when they're 63? And I think one of the things is, you know, we all said how important something is to you and whether it's impressed upon you. So, you know,
if the relevance.
If it's 60
well, and yeah,
and so I'm just thinking, I hadn't thought about this in a long time, but you're talking about memory stimulating something from way back when. Mm-hmm. When I was a very little boy, I mean like 2 or 3, this is like in the late 50s here, there was a TV show, there were lots of Westerns on, and there was one in particular had a theme song. It was about Jim Bowie, this famous knife thrower. And to this day, I can still sing that song. Now, a couple of years ago, I was talking about it with a friend of mine. I said, you know, I don't have to remember seeing the show, but I can remember the name of the show. And I went to go look it up on YouTube. The show went off the air in 1958. That meant I had to have seen it when I was 2.
Wow.
So I saw that, and I must have watched it because I was obsessed with all these things.
Yeah.
And somehow that song has stuck in my head.
Wow.
And
you have a tune, Paul? Is that an option?
Jim Bowie.
All right. Oh, God, she's encouraging.
Yeah.
Oh, step away from the mic.
Look it up.
No, but, I mean, and that's a positive memory.
Yes.
Right?
So something about me watching that show just stuck in my head.
So in the midst of being in an agitated state, a stressed out state, you are...
Sing that song to me here.
Now I know why your push button is. But going back to what you guys are doing, I mean, this is... I'm trying to emphasize this is a very different and specific end user that are client or, you know, that you're basically caring for.
Yes, absolutely.
In a very specific way.
And let me give you one other example.
So not everybody can just come off and, you know, even if you have massage therapy experience, doesn't mean necessarily that you are prepared to do that.
Correct. And that's what I'll let you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So before I launch into this.
No, go ahead. Maybe this will bring it together here, but go ahead what you were going to say.
You're exactly right. And that's one of the things that we found in founding this company is the lack of training and experience. So we've then had to go and design a training program because massage therapists complete their training in their school, and they're great massage therapists, but they're coming out and coming to us for employment without the training that we need to place them with our clients.
So different training because these clients are older and maybe they have some special needs.
Because the nuances with clients and geriatric patients are immense. And, you know,
it's very niche.
It is very niche. So we've trademarked the nation's only listing of senior and geriatric certified massage therapists.
Wow. Okay.
This is called the Good Hands List. And through that...
That's a great name.
Thank you. Our massage therapists and Good Hands List members receive CEUs, which are continued education units, and also the training that goes with that. So then they now can... go into these independent assisted living memory care facilities.
Certified specifically for that.
Absolutely.
Yes. Beyond the training that they receive.
Beyond the training that they receive.
Which anybody who's a professional should be getting that more sophisticated
they
training anyway, somewhere.
Sure, but schools are...
No, but what I'm saying is in regards to field. I mean, just if you're in a particular profession, you're seeking out
absolutely.
Specification or specialization. You're seeking out
that
enhancement
your
of your skill set.
Absolutely.
Right,
sure.
And that says a lot about a person's commitment to their profession.
Right.
So
is there a certification for massage therapists? Can anybody hold out a shingle and say, hey, I'm ready?
Well, that's what Evan was diving in to say. So every state has a different requirement.
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, California is putting out more. We have more schools in California. Do I have that fact right?
You do. There's 300 schools. Accredited schools in the U.S. and 83 of those in California.
Yeah. So here in our state, we're putting out a lot of massage therapists. Now, our requirement requirement in, just in California for massage therapists is for them to carry a minimum of 200 hours. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. That law just recently changed, actually. It used to be that they had to carry 600 hours, which is the equivalent of about 6 months training.
Yep.
Now it's like it can be a 2 month long rushed program. To me, that just seems really odd. But having said that, there are 25 hours of that. Of that program, only 25 hours have to be designated to what is called by the state special special ages, right?
Special ages.
I have that packed right as well. Now, that is broken down between geriatric, that could be children
kids,
as well, pediatric,
neonatal. Yeah, right.
How you, that miss, 25
how you
hours.
Deal with touch a child.
So now you're breaking that 25 hours back into 2 hours here, 2 hours there, a couple hours here. It's not specific.
That's crazy, actually.
And additionally, it's not enough hands-on. The schools can't, again, we're dealing with the clientele that we're going to. The mm-hmm. nature of our business is mm-hmm. we're mobile. We go to our clients. Mm-hmm. These schools can't bring in the senior and geriatric clients.
Wheel them in so you can work on them.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
really. Yeah.
Practically speaking, no.
Absolutely. Right. So, in launching our company to do what we're passionate about and provide quality massage therapy to seniors, we've also had to create that training mm-hmm. program and get massage therapists that hands-on training and accreditation, really, because I'll tell you, I don't want just anyone massaging my mother or my grandmother.
No.
And
sure,
even myself, as I age, I want to know that I'm in good hands.
So I just have to ask this question. This is from my perspective as an aging baby boomer here. When I hear this term massage therapist, and I know many cities still feel this way, they're suspect. They think it's a front for prostitution or other sorts of things. And I know, in fact, in many Asian communities, it has been. Mm-hmm. You know, they have had that.
Sure, absolutely.
Problem.
I think that is cycling out, though.
Yeah.
It is moving away.
It is moving away because a lot of studies have shown the benefits of massage therapy. So massage therapy is more known now and in younger generations as something more therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, I think the industry itself is also changing to encompass other stuff.
Well, yes.
From a wellness perspective.
Sure.
So you have things like, you know, somebody could say it's a Thai massage, but it sort of starts to get into sort of more of a chiro or a physical therapy kind of element as well as part of how the regimen is provided. And so there's an acceptance to that. Also, I do think it is generational. I mean, I remember...
I definitely think so.
Absolutely.
Because I think when you say massage therapist to somebody my age, they kind of wink and go, oh, you're going to go get a massage.
Whereas someone my age, totally different view in my head.
It's just part of
And you
your
look at
wellness.
These chains it's that are opening up in shopping centers like Massage Envy.
Airports.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, and what I've seen in my community, just as quickly as they're opening up, they're shutting down because they're employing massage therapists under an umbrella, under mm-hmm. one license. And then the cities are coming in and investigating and finding that, you know, you have only one certified massage therapist and all these under, and that that's illegal.
We just opened a new location in Anaheim called Ziana Wellness. It's on Imperial and, Santa Ana Canyon Road.
Okay.
And, 2,400 square foot, 7 treatment room location.
Nice area.
But I'll say this. Every therapist had to be licensed.
Yes.
Okay. Hmm. Because on top of the state regulations, every city also has its own take on it, mm-hmm. to your point, Paul. Like, where do they fall in that evolutionary of thinking, right? And so in City of Anaheim, before we were able to actually open our doors and get our certificate of occupancy, every therapist had to be licensed. Every therapist had to was covered by insured. That paperwork had to be filed with the city. Every subcontractor who worked on that project had to have a business license in the city of Anaheim.
Because you're held to a higher standard.
In the city of Anaheim. Yeah. I'm out of South County, and I had to open a business license in the city of Anaheim and fill out paperwork.
Keep it local.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so
it reminds me when I was...
It's a way for these cities, I mean, to basically also track, sales and revenue and stuff like that.
I
mean,
20 years ago, I was involved in another weird side project. I set up an Irish pub, and it turned into a billiard club. And billiard clubs were booming in the
80s. An Irishman with an Irish club.
Oh, how about
Irish pub? Sounds like a joke,
this
right?
This is in Mission View.
I'm waiting for the Pope to walk in.
All right. So, and what we found is we walked in, so would you want to put pool tables in the city? This is in Mission Viejo. It was called Kelly McHugh's. People freaked out. And they're like, why? Well, pool tables, those are pool rooms. These are dens of iniquity. These are corruption and sin gambling. And gambling and everything. And we're like, this is, you know, just look at what's happened. These are upscale pool tables. Yeah. We're charging. It's for people to hang around and do something other than just sit and drink.
Right.
And that was part of a wave that was happening. There were a lot of these rooms opening across the country. And I got involved in that whole movement like you guys are involved in massage. And we found city after city we had to argue that your impression of a pool room is not the same anymore. It's changed. It's a billiard club. We have to give it a different name. And just as people probably still have from city to city, if you walk in and say, we're going to do massage, are you stuck with a bunch of ordinances that were written a million years ago under a different set of ideas and expectations?
Before we go further, though, give away the website, because I know a lot of people that are follow me and a lot of people that I know are in that industry. Give the website about the Good Hands. You know, let's share some of these resources for people to look at while
we're
talking.
Sure. You can simply Google the Good Hands list, and you can find that as well through our website.
And it has information about the program and the certification, all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can find us through themassageinc.com or also go to thegoodhandslist.com.
And only because you mentioned it, that somebody made a joke about it. INK
Incorporated.
INC Incorporated.
Thank you.
Okay. It's not like
we're
tattoo
not
shop on
tattoos. Yeah. No, but it might be the next spend.
That may be the next. You get certified, they'll put a temporary tattoo on you. It says,
sure,
you know,
we're going to brand all of our massage therapists.
That would be kind of cool. That might do
Good
it.
Good hands.
So let's talk about in the last 10, 15 minutes here, what do you experience when you go in? What do you see? Give us some stories and stuff. And I'll preface it by telling a story, which I'm prone to do here. Watching a movie the other day, I've never seen it before, Wrestling Hemingway. It's about two senior citizens, Richard Harris and Robert Duvall.
Okay.
And they're broke guys, and they live in Miami, and they become friends, and one guy's wild, and one guy's very conservative. And Duvall plays this conservative he'd been a barber. And Harris is this wild-eyed Irishman. He's got wild hair, and he just lives this wild existence.
Good setting.
All right. So at the somewhere halfway through the movie, they become friends. Duvall says, why don't you let me cut your hair and give you an old-fashioned barber massage, you know, shave you and all this stuff. You look so ratty. And he says, okay. And I just remember the scene so much from the movie. This movie is probably 5-6 years old. He starts crying as he cuts his hair and touches me. He says, what are you crying about? He says, nobody has touched me in years.
Yeah.
Tenderly.
Perfect segue, because absolutely, some of the information these ladies gave me is, and I said some of this earlier on the video, is, you know, you're talking about 28,000 seniors living in long-term care.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Yeah.
That's 760
in Orange County.
In Orange County, right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. 766,000 baby boomers in Orange County. And what is it, 35 years from now, they're estimating doubling that. It's about a million and a quarter,
Isn't
a million
crazy?
And a half.
And how many of them will end up locally alone because of divorce or a spouse is dying
This is the thing that really got me, and thank you for providing this, guys, okay, is that one in every three seniors lives alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That national study shows staggering 6 million seniors suffering from depression. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about, struck me is, we hear a lot about, and we talk a lot because it's a program that's been around for a lot longer, but, you know, Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, right? Great program.
And how Meals on Wheels and the Ombudsman Program actually are very critical for people's daily living, because in many ways, that's that person, the only person
that
they interact with that week, right?
Absolutely.
My aunt's 92, lives out in the desert all alone, moved out to be with my parents. They died, now she's all alone. She has no kids or whatever.
She needs a massage therapist.
She probably would really enjoy it if you could get her to get over that stigma of having somebody do this for her. But having said that, the Meals on Wheels person is the only person she sees.
And we see that, too. And ours, you know, it goes a step further. Not only are we creating relationships with our clients, the massage therapists are generally friendship and bonded, too, but they're a body monitor. So whereas your Meals on Wheels person may go to the home and be able to see if something's off and they're providing food, we're able to
mold growing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have a look on the body, which can help monitor things that you may not be able to see, or even your care provider isn't been able to see. So it's
and I
just,
always worry about it because she falls. She does other sorts of things. She lives by herself. She's very independent. And I don't know how she lives day by day and week by week. I only get to see her once every couple of weeks when I drive out there.
Well, if I could, Corey, I'd like to ask you to touch on some of the benefits that massage provides from just the combating loneliness and those statistics, but the physical benefits. And then I'd like to give you my thoughts on the future of where massage is headed.
And Corey, when you do that, would you maybe specifically talk about the different factors of that when it comes to seniors? Like as far as the benefits of massage when it comes specifically to that.
Focus it's so
on
specific.
Seniors.
Yeah,
right. I'm curious what that specifically
So we got about 10 minutes. Benefits first.
Well,
he'll give us an extra 5 minutes.
I probably
thanks,
will.
Gang. I'll bring Jameson.
See, she's got your number.
She's got
already.
My number. Yeah,
already.
She got me to sing. She did everything.
It's really simple, actually, and quick massage for seniors. And I'm going to be more specific to say what we call geriatric massage, because by definition, seniors would be, 62 and older? You're not yet a senior.
Actually, right there. No, younger.
Starts at 55 now or something.
Yeah. 50. I hear it's going to 50 now. It's not 55 plus.
And that's a whole other subject because I don't know that the 61-year-olds want to be categorized with my aunt who's 92. You know, I think we see ourselves differently.
So I'm going to be more specific because the basis of the clients that we want to help are 72 and older.
Okay.
And so looking at that, what is the most beneficial attribute of massage is anything circular. Circulation related.
Mm-hmm. Right. Particularly because they don't move a lot.
That and circulation slows down. And if you're looking at accompanying disorders like diabetes or even Parkinson's or lymphedema or anything that is affected with circulation.
My aunt has terrible lymphedema. Her legs swell up because she doesn't hardly move, and her legs just get bigger and bigger and bigger because the fluid doesn't pump back.
That is terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when you get into that trap, because you have to still move, right? That's going to help it, but you're so uncomfortable.
You don't want to move.
And then what do you do, right? So you don't want to move. So anything circulation absolutely affected by massage.
Go look up lymphedema if you've never seen it. It's horrible. My mother suffered from it. She had Parkinson's, too, before she died. And so the more she fell, the less she wanted to walk. And the less she walked, the more the fluids just built up. And her legs just swelled out. It looked like elephantitis. I mean, it was just huge to the point it would burst sometimes and break through the skin.
I would think that as you get older and you're facing all these things and they're just coming at you fast and furious, that at some point you start basically almost distrusting your body. Like you feel like you're
just
basically trapped in your own body and that your body is not really supporting
you. My aunt's not sure she can
stand up. So take another medication for it.
You almost have this love-hate relationship with your body. And then if nobody, there's no touch factor, then there's no reconnection.
Right.
And then you have somebody that comes in and basically is providing you a little bit of therapy in a massage format, but maybe actually is also helping with your circulation or at least identifying some things that are happening and being able to report back or at least give some advice on what you can do. I think that helps continue to keep the connection going to where you don't get into that dark spot where all you want to do is you're just basically in God's waiting room and waiting for the bus to come by.
It does. It keeps people who are moving.
Yeah.
Can you move the limb? Because she did have somebody come out once after one of her falls. She went to the hospital and they had somebody come out. I guess they did give her some massage. And they were trying to massage the lymphedema to work it back up the leg so it would get absorbed and move.
That's a specific kind of massage called lymphatic drainage.
Right.
And all of our massage therapists are trained to do that specific massage.
You're hired. Okay.
Right. It's necessary. It's something that they come across regularly in their caseload. Mm-hmm. And it has to be done a particular way. To be specific, there are lymph ducts all over the body, and you have to drain one before moving another to that drainage spot. And you go opposite, like counterclockwise. Does that make sense?
I've never heard any of this, yeah.
Yeah, and it all has to move towards the body, towards the heart, rather. So,
All right, you could actually physically get somebody walking again because their legs have swelled up so much from not moving and not circulating that this lymphatic, what is it, fluid? It's some sort of fluid. It's not blood, but it's fluid.
It is fluid, yeah, and you can also keep it at bay. We've had clients who have been receiving massage weekly as a part of their protocol to not have the lymphedema, which they've been diagnosed with, progress into something where they can't
walk. You just earned some extra minutes because now I got to know more about
this. Now you're interested.
All right, so that's one possibility.
That's how we get them.
That's one possible thing that you can do. Give me some other examples where massage is of benefit to a a truly senior.
Don't you feel like he's having this conversation about how does it benefit me, but he doesn't want to really see me?
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Well,
clearly,
we all
my
have
friend,
to,
how does it melt?
The eyebrows raised.
Yeah, that's a clear sign. You know, I'm 32 years old, and that's my future, too. Like, yeah. we have to be aware of what's going to happen. So, to me, what I see for my own self, the second best benefit is what I call that hunching over, that forward rotation. Mm-hmm. Now, this happens from two places. It's a misconception that everyone just starts to roll forward because of bad posture. Not entirely. They start to roll forward because of the hips, and the hip flexors get tight. You also start to roll forward if there's a walker situation at play or because of bad posture. Mm-hmm. But it's going to come from one of those two spots, not necessarily just the
Or your spine will actually start to curve because of
scoliosis. Right, kyphosis, lordosis, yeah, right. specific
but
things.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff, by the way, just to step back for a minute, is not necessarily age-related only. I mean, you
no.
can everybody
younger,
has a lymphatic yeah. system. Everybody potentially could be hit with sclerosis, you know? Mm-hmm. So, again, I reemphasize that it is a generational thing that, you know, I'm glad that you guys are there serving that generation. Mm-hmm. Because for a younger generation, the hope is that you're already predisposed to thinking about your wellness and well-being in such a manner that this is part of your wellness
That's
regimen.
Key. Then we're doing
right.
things right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, all right, so posture and getting, so will massage get people to stand up straighter?
Yes, and the reason why is because, again, like the lymphedema, it takes away the pain. So you can actually move back upright. Mm. And the massage has to be done in those situations with stretches worked into the massage. So there has to be mm-hmm. some physical therapy aspect to that. For that reason, we brought in a physical therapist who created a program with our massage therapist that would not injure the client because you can't stretch.
Because your muscles
them
get used
far.
To it. As you bend over, you get sort of stuck in that position. Your mm-hmm. muscles won't stretch back anymore because
right.
they're not used to doing that. Yeah.
And you have to be able to assess.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens, right? So we have to, and our massage therapists are there, like Evan said, oftentimes as the only person in play. It's the only person interacting, maybe, you know, hopefully not. But they have to be able to make logistic, professional, smart, determined assessments and do what's right for the client and not too much for them.
So I got to ask two more questions and I'll shut up here. One is, who recommends this to? Because I don't know why my aunt has been suffering this. My mother suffered through it for many, many years. All of these problems she had.
That's
my mother in particular had
question.
Parkinson's.
And how does it get paid for?
There is
so,
number two.
One of our goals is to educate the public, educate the care providers, and facilities too. So part of it is to know at this point it's something you have to reach out and obtain on your own. But I did a research through the AMTA, American Massage Therapy Association, and mm-hmm. they report that a high number, I believe it was 69% of doctors and patients discussed massage therapy in last year alone.
Wow.
And doctors highly recommended and encouraged their clients to get massages, to treat a number, whatever their issue that they were discussing. And so...
Because had a doctor... just interrupt again. Both my mother...
As soon as a doctor
and
says
my aunt,
you should do it.
Yeah, especially that generation, they would have done it. But never once in all the years that my mother suffered from Parkinson's and eventually became wheelchair bound because she was too scared to get up, and then that made her get
right.
weaker and weaker, and the
yeah.
lymphoma built up and all this stuff built up and she got curved over
the
and all
cycle.
The things you're talking about. It's a vicious cycle. The less you move, the worse it got.
Yeah. So
doctors
really are recommending this, and there's a lot of studies and information now that are proving 100% effectiveness of massage therapy
yeah.
on these conditions. And so, but here's where the question comes in. Like you said, who pays for this?
Who pays for it?
Majority of it, it's out of pocket. Sometimes post-surgery, you can get it covered by massage therapy, covered as part of your benefits, as part of your...
But there's usually a duration of time.
And often it's
yes.
terminated too quickly to really obtain those benefits. So it's being discussed, and I'll give you a few more stats.
And it would keep you from going back in the hospital, I would think.
Well, there's definitely
and they're so incentivized these days under Medicare to not. In fact, they
that's
get
why,
penalized if you go back too soon.
That's
yeah.
why.
Right.
I'm sorry, Evan, just for a second, but that's why the regimen of wellness on a regular basis.
Right.
Not only is it beneficial because it's preventive, but it's also cheaper.
Imagine if you actually, instead of getting that 20-30 minute adjustment, right, on every time you tweak a little bit of something, and that's going to happen to us all as we get older anyway, right, or we bend wrong. And it's not necessarily aging. Right. I mean, you know, you could be a surf injury, for God's sake, you know.
Right.
But if you did that on a regular basis, then you're not going to be out of commission for 4 days, for example, because you let the thing go so badly, right? I mean, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, gender based, you know, sometimes, especially with guys, we're like leaving it to the last minute. Well, you know, I'll be fine. I'm going to just I'll take a couple of aspirins for that.
Suck it up.
Yeah. Suck it up. Go in. Get it adjusted.
No
you'll
excuse.
Be happy.
There's no excuse for that. We are only $1 a minute. So it is, as of right now, a cash basis. So
and what's an average session? 20, 30 minutes?
We recommend an hour.
Yeah.
For clients that are wheelchair bound, then I would say a half an hour is acceptable. But if you can get on or off the table, it's best to do a whole hour.
And how often would you have to do it?
Based on, you know, it depends on what's going on there. I'd say for minimum maintenance, for lymphoma, you should be looking at once a week. For minimum maintenance, I'd say once a month for everyone. If you know anybody who is looking for massage, if you have a grandma, a grandpa, a mother who's aging, headed into the sunset years, go to themassageinc.com. You can find a therapist.
And I'll give you an endorsement of this, not for your service particularly, because I never heard of it. But again, my aunt's been in and out of hospital for the last 10 years or 5 years or something. As her condition, she has a rare form of blood cancer. Makes her very she doesn't produce red blood cells, so she's very anemic and weak, and that's why she falls. And she lives by herself and very independent still, and doesn't have the money to move into independent assisted living, so she's kind of caught in a hard place in between, and lives in this little apartment by herself. And this last time she fell, which is happening more and more, she went to the hospital. And as they always do, they give you some home health service.
Right.
Somebody come out and check on you, and which doesn't do a lot, but it made her feel better. They just really kind of just see if she's alive and take her temperature and do a few other things and her vitals, I guess. And one of them.
Depressing is that.
It really was. That's all they do.
And they don't come back. It's just.
Yeah, they came for like a month and that was it.
That's it.
So during that period of time, one of them, and I don't know that she was a massage therapist, I think she was just the nurse that came out, said, saw this lymphoma, her legs swelled up, and said, well, that's why you keep falling, because every time you stand up, your legs give out. She says, And she says, but everybody says, I can't do it. You can't drain this fluid. You can't do anything for it, the doctor says. They give her water pills to try and pass
it's just
it,
a cycle.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything.
You got to wring it out.
Yeah, so this lady started doing that.
But it's easier to prescribe.
I don't know who she was or what she was, but the most magnificent thing, her legs went down dramatically. She walked better. She stood better.
Yeah.
But
quality
the lady said, I can't come back anymore. And that was that. So it went on for a month, and then that was once a week she came out and did this, and we saw a dramatic result. My wife and I, and then at the end,
she disappeared.
She disappeared.
If only you had the good hands.
I'm really going to check.
Well, and
thank you.
You know, the thing with the price, I just want to for a minute. I mean, thanks for sharing that, because just to give people who are out there maybe that don't get massage, right?
Sure.
That is a steal.
It is. The national average is $68 an hour. So we're below.
That's what, like two locations in Nebraska somewhere?
Because, on a Groupon.
Not
on
picking on Nebraska, but I mean, you're on a Groupon, exactly.
You're relying on your own mobility. You've got to get there, get a ride to the, it's taking out your 1 hour massage is now costing you 3 hours of your day.
Resources. The industry is changing. So the other thing that's really intriguing to me is that we're seeing a move in the industry away from sort of the brick-and-mortar delivery to where it's more in-house or something. So this is actually pretty, it's cool to have a massage therapist come to, if you were in the you had somebody who could come and home
Friday night.
I ask every single person involved at the high levels of sort of, organizational epsilon of spa industry.
Mm-hmm.
Last year at iSpa in Las Vegas, I said, okay, so if you had your druthers and every one of us can basically walk into any 5-star resort location and get a massage probably comped.
Right.
Okay. What would you do? What would your preference be? And they said, get a massage at home.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah.
Hands down, right? Because all I want to do is have you go bye-bye and I
it
sleep for 2 hours.
Increases the comfort level.
Exactly.
Right. And so the interesting thing is what you guys are talking about is, yes, we are talking about seniors. Yes, we are talking about assisted living facilities. Yes, we are talking about memory care centers. But there's sort of a movement, you're kind of parallel path in a way with taking the service to the end user.
Yeah.
rather
taking
than
it to the streets.
See, we're singing again here. Now we got everybody singing. That's what she heard when she was two.
No, there's no alcohol. There's
yeah,
no alcohol
that's a
yet.
Good memory. Yeah.
But no, it's actually pretty cool that way because it's very current. It's not like this. You know, we're gonna go and put up my massage table in the car and go over to the old people's home.
Right. No.
Right. And old people are. Yes, I understand. We're kind of seeing the waning of one generation and the incoming of the baby boomers.
Yeah.
But it's a different profile.
Have you ever thought of hooking up with, maybe hooking up's the wrong term. I know that has other meanings
there.
Yeah, that kind of industry.
I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
We're moving away from that. No hooking up.
I'm going to need you to sign a waiver, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I stuck
at a dollar a minute? Where are you
been hooking up?
Really? We just had a price increase.
I'm going to start blushing now.
Did you go service somewhere?
It always goes there. See, it does.
It does.
Hello, sailor coming out of the side.
Taking it to the street. Yeah. Wow. I don't even know what I was going to say anymore.
It's hilarious.
Trying to go
blushing.
Find community. I am blushing.
Yeah.
On us.
We
got
do.
Me going.
I understand. I think I know. Can I just read your mind?
No, yes. Please don't.
Yes, read his mind. Yeah, you know what? You're
partnering.
Right. No, don't. Please don't read his mind.
Can we just partnering? Partnering with senior communities and facilities.
You said it.
Hooking up.
We're hooking up.
Hooking up. Let's go hook up with these.
Yeah.
Hook up with partners. As soon as I said that, I knew.
Are you partnering with?
Absolutely.
Wait, partnering with whom? Who are we partnering with?
With
senior
not.
Community. Not Paul. For example, like Leisure World. Or I inherited a house out
it's called Laguna Woods, not Leisure World.
We do have discussions of actual partnerships, but one of the things we do as a company, we have the accessibility to the facilities and communities, whereas an independent contractor massage therapist couldn't get in. We have an in with these facilities, rapport with the activities director, executive directors, marketers, to get in, to access, to then treat, you know, and our mission, of course, is to provide massages to as many seniors as possible. And we have to have access to that. And if that means a partnership, it may be so. And we are discussing that. But we don't want to limit ourselves to one area or demographic because it's such a therapeutic and beneficial service that needs to be accessible across the board.
We're in Tucson and Florida, or going into Florida now.
So there's Brookdale, names, and we're in a lot of them.
We had Brookdale in here, didn't we have somebody from Brookdale in here?
Yeah, no. We're in Brookdale.
We're in Brookdale. The way that I found that they operate is they're a local unit, you know, their own municipality, if you will. They're not, not the entire Brookdale across the United States. So we've made contacts with each at each different location, in addition to reaching the independent, you know, like your aunt and that as well.
That's a bit of a dysfunction of that industry, by the way, because they're operated as an independent. In some cases, they're almost like flagged, you know, like a Hyatt used to be either a corporate property or a flagged property. There is a little bit, in my opinion, that needs to evolve and grow and mature to where there's a little bit more consistency of quality assurance.
Sure.
And I think when they're run as independents, yes, you could argue that it's very personalized. However, sometimes that gets lost. So without getting into the sort of the care industry that way. But
next segment.
But no, I will say this. I think it's a smart business move not to tie yourself up too tightly with that because the nature of people aging and retiring and receiving care, because, I mean, we're talking about facilities that are, you know, like on the low, 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 low end, about $1,700 a month. You can go up to $7,000 to $10,000 a month, full benefits. Who's going to afford that? So in some cases, the future may not look like a building with 400 beds.
It may not.
Smaller clusters, community-based initiatives, co-ops.
And for the consumer, one thing to know.
Individual homes,
yeah. For the consumer, the good news is insurance is, they're opening their eyes to this. Is this needing
that
to be accessible and a benefit? Absolutely. So in the coming years, I would say in the next 2 to 3, we will start to see this as part as an insurance.
Insurance companies, it's beneficial to insurance companies. I mean, Kaiser sort of toys with it verbally or visually.
Right.
And I don't know to what extent it really...
Doctors need to keep recommending it. Patients need to keep requesting it.
Right. But, I mean, you could see these companies. I mean, if Kaiser
are looking at it.
But they're called, you know, they have a whole program called Thrive. And you have a whole program that's based on preventive. But if you're not actually doing preventive policies, but from a nuts and bolts dollars and cents, it's actually cheaper.
for those insurance companies to introduce that kind of regimen.
I think it keeps them from going back into the hospital.
$17 billion spent annually on pain management medications, and that kind of that alarms me.
Well, there's competing interests, right?
There is, yeah. But yes, right. I mean, yeah. With massage therapy, 100% of clients are thoroughly satisfied.
Yeah.
And report multiple benefits.
Plus the endorphin release, plus and the contact, plus the personal connection.
Yeah, there's nothing but quality and good benefits and side effects.
Now, do these people work for you, or is this the gig economy here? Is this you're the Uber that provides independent contractors here?
Our vetting process is pretty rough.
rough.
Yeah, making it sound really appealing, huh? We employ a list of massage therapists who are independent contractors with us, but we give them to the work working in the establishments that we have contracted with. And
right.
Like I said, that's all the major players, Brookdale.
We had Silverado.
Atria,
is another big
one. I'll take that card, actually.
Okay, yeah, this is actually.
Sunrise.
I'll get you a copy
and
of this.
Then a lot of.
She's the administrator here.
Who was it?
Kim Wentick. She was the administrator.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Kim. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, right.
I can give you a bunch of cards.
Yeah, we'll connect you with some of the people that you.
Well, the point is to massage the people who matter most, right?
But the only reason I bring that up, because there's a lot of talk about this, they're calling it the gig economy or whatever, where people are independent contractors and somebody provides them access to the work.
Well,
sort of like Uber does.
You have to remember, too, we're providing
or
them
Airbnb
the training.
Well, by that definition, yes. We are the Uber. By that definition, absolutely.
And does that then give you a wide variance of people that you have to vet them and provide a certain level of service?
But they're also training them.
But we're training them.
That's where
we're screening.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, nationally, there's 300.
You're not just hooking them up.
We're not just. It's not just. Yeah. There's 300,000 massage therapists.
Something's
it's the Irish.
It is.
You hit that whiskey, didn't you?
They're flask under that.
There is something about Irish people that just love this little bantering back and forth here.
Yeah, so, Irish storytellers.
So I appreciate you letting us run over, but yeah, I want to have Evan get this in. So what's in the future?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, again, insurance will start to provide this as a benefit. It's like eye care. You get a couple pairs of glasses a year. So I'm sure it will start slowly in that regard and then increase, as doctors continue to recommend. Patients continue to request. We're always working with local legislation. Of course, it's going to be national because we are in, Arizona, Florida, and we will look to be elsewhere, too. Next state. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Stay tuned. Yeah, and of course, again, being educated ourselves, knowing what to expect, planning for the future. We plan for our retirement, but what about the after retirement years? There's
that are getting longer and longer.
Yeah, we're living longer.
Lucky me, I'm going to live to be 100. What am I going to do?
You need a plan for the next 30 years, and keeping your mind and body. Agile.
And is W.C. Fields so famous? Go Google him. I don't know, you guys don't even know who he was. W.C. Fields, a famous comedian from the 1920s, said...
Big Hat, I think.
The Big Hat and everything. He said, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yeah. And it's true. It's really true.
And he was a drinker.
He was a big drinker.
He was a big drinker.
So that's what he meant.
I didn't get it until...
Yeah, he would have actually spent the money on good alcohol.
Right. He would have gone top shelf.
Exactly.
So with Massage Inc., make sure you go top shelf.
Make sure you go top shelf.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, but
I hadn't heard that term in a long time, top shelf.
You guys shelf, really... It's fascinating. We talk about this show being that we prep a little, we don't really do too much prep because we really want to have it be a very fluid conversation.
Yeah, it's great. Organic.
Right, very organic. And something always comes out like a nugget, right? I'm sitting here, my wheels are just spinning. I'm thinking, how do we connect this with some of the people that I know at like International Spa Association, Global Wellness? There's a Global Wellness Day coming up in June. I'm an ambassador, local ambassador.
How about
it's
all these other centers
movement,
you had in here?
I've always wanted to do the center you had in here.
Where's the Orange County Council on Aging or whatever? You've had some other people.
We've had a lot of people that are senior industry related. But here's the thing. Okay, what we're talking about, and I keep going
senior
back to this.
Centers.
Yeah, but we're going. I keep going back to this. This is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
This is a lifestyle programming. This is a lifestyle product. Yes, we are talking about seniors. I want you to think about this massage for seniors as almost being something that we, as millennials and Gen Xers, even boomers, this isn't something that happens only at that point in life. This is something that continues potentially to happen at that point in life, but that you can already get into the mindset of benefit from that mindset today.
Yes.
And you trust me, you're not going to be paying $1 an hour for it because it's
and to
like
get over those stigmas that keep you from doing this. Yoga is another one you've talked about. There's kind of I'm from the Midwest and I'm from an Irish family, and you know we didn't touch a lot. We didn't talk. It wasn't touchy feely like that, particularly in the Midwest. And yoga is another one. Would anybody have my friends would giggle if I said I was doing yoga or something.
And yet we had
my friends would snicker if I said I was getting a massage.
A couple of weeks ago we had the youngest certified yoga instructor.
Oh, Tibet.
10 years old.
I know his mom. And he's another San Clementian. Yeah.
Before
he was on channel. They were on Channel 7 today.
Care for Yoga.
And before he was on the Ellen Show.
They were filming their.
He was on the Ellen Show too, wasn't he?
No. Yeah. I don't think he's on Ellen yet. But he was on. They've been on CNN. They've been on ABC. They've been on Good Morning America.
I love that.
But first, he was on the Rad Life.
He was here. He was here first.
Starts here.
And we got the news out to the San Clemente Journal, and the SS
picked up from there.
Yeah.
That kid is awesome.
And then it got carried in the Orange County Register, and then boom, 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 boom.
So the point is, from him, he's 10. He sees this as nothing. What's strange about it?
Strong.
You know,
right, and that's what we see in the
town,
future against, right?
Now, could you, I have to ask this question, we've gone way over here, but could massage...
It's okay, I know we're massaging you, Paul.
Well, you are, because...
Yeah, I think your comfort level is just...
Really
you're ready.
He's slouching. He's slouching,
yeah. Could you have massage for children? Because that would seem like a dangerous place to start with.
Massage
ten,
for what?
Children. A 10-year-old, 11-year-old.
It's happening every day.
A yoga.
I've taken my teen to get a massage. She loves it. Absolutely.
I mean, that's. I'm sure someone else.
Someone can take that.
They're building. They're building, and I'll tell you where they're building. They're building them even like in the Middle East. Okay, where if you want to talk about like you know maybe they're sort of the personal space maybe is a little different maybe than in Europe. I mean,
yeah,
God knows Europe is just there's no.
New...
It's all you know. They're all over
what
each other, right?
Yeah,
but. They're building.
Men kiss
back in the day,
they greet each other.
Back in the day, they'd build a resort, right? And it was very common to build a resort where you'd have, you know, like the kids' pool, you'd have the adult pool. And then in some cases, if it was a far distant location or whatever, a destination resort, they would have a clubhouse. And Disney does this all the time, where it's for kids. Mm-hmm. So that you could basically literally drop the kids off. It's almost like resort daycare, right? And they have their own activities and cruise
but
and
we're
all this
so
stuff.
Concerned
on
about
cruise ships,
abuse,
they do it.
And we're so concerned about...
The kids are fine. Where you need to focus on the seniors.
Right. So they're actually establishing mini spas or spa environments.
Spa for kids.
That are
spa
for kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Amazing.
Spa
that
for
is
kids.
Great.
Right? So... The smart thing about that for the industry is that they're infusing.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
Plan.
Those wellness components
exactly. early on. Is not a strange thing that you suddenly adopt.
Go
when
to
you're
school
70.
And go to massage.
So by the age 20, if you are you know financially capable to take advantage of something like that, at the age of 20. You know, it's old hat.
Yeah.
Now you're looking for different
part of your
regular
looking.
Well,
really. Again, coming back to why we founded this business, for us, we think that the most important thing is to give back to those who paved the way for us.
Right.
I mean, that's just a personal belief.
And to provide a needed service.
Wonderful. I mean, that's
to
a wonderful...
see a problem and provide a service. Because clearly there's a problem with seniors being isolated, being immobile. Nobody
should be unacceptable. Helping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Should be unacceptable. I like
that.
Well,
it's almost a shame, right? I mean, it's almost a disgraceful
should be unacceptable.
That those people that basically have paved the way in so many different ways are basically left alone.
Should
right.
be unacceptable. Yeah.
I mean, there's no excuse. And you know, first guest we ever had on the show was Carrie Kasem. And we talked about abuse, elder abuse. And then, you know, down the road about a year, and this was like when they first founded
her father was locked. The famous Casey Kasem, the broadcaster we all know, you know, married someone else later in life. First family was locked out. And as he started to deteriorate mentally and physically, the second wife, according to them, locked him away and kept everybody from seeing him and kept moving the body around so that nobody could see him.
So you know what? You know,
kept him in isolation.
And she could not, as the daughter, break through. The wife had total control over her husband, even though he wasn't mentally capable of making decisions anymore.
Because at that point in time...
So they've passed legislation.
Well, since they have. But at that point in time, which was about 2.5 years, 3 years ago, there was not one state in the union that had any laws on the books that allowed you as a child to ask for legal visitation of your parents.
That's crazy.
You know, people
and it makes
through.
So much sense now when you say that. It should
not one
be
state
right.
had it, and they got three, and then, you know, like yesterday, the other day, I think they got one other state that basically passed legislation. But it, you know, you would think that that's just
right. Yeah.
And so
if it could happen at that level.
But my point is that we found out that the underlying element that happens when abuse. And we had another lady that was talking about affluent abuse, which is people that are basically almost kept and controlled behind wide gilded cages, you know, like down south. And
so they can control the money in the estate and all that.
Right, so affluent abuse. But there was a common thread, and the common thread was isolation.
Right.
Yes.
Right? So bringing it back to seniors, okay, this is a vulnerable population that even if somebody is not targeting them for abuse, they are maybe self-isolated.
Right.
Okay, or what do they call shut in almost, right, which is horrible.
Mm-hmm. You know what surprises me, though? The people you've had on your show for the last year and two or whatever, that's as long as it's been going on, the number of people who are millennials who say, I feel some connection to that generation. I, as a baby boomer, had no connection with my grandparents, and most of us didn't, because my grandparents died in their 60s.
He didn't even know. Actually, he didn't know how to be a grandparent.
Well, I would like to.
He didn't have a personal reference for how being
Everybody, my friends, they all died in their 60s, maybe 70. Whoa, Rishi was really old.
Wow.
And so by the time, and our parents also delayed having children. So, you know, by the time I came along, she died at 60 or 70. I was 6 or something.
Well, our grandfather, Jim Jones, is turning 81 today.
There you go, Jim.
Great
for you, buddy.
That man can do a cartwheel.
He can.
I tell you what, so
he can play
shout
some
out
mean
to him.
Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you guys have developed, I'm pleased to hear that there's a connection to the older generation that I didn't grow up with, and that I think is maybe through longevity is being reestablished again, because the theory has been for too long, put them away. Stick them somewhere.
Well, and I hope that's what we can teach our children. And as much as there should be that involvement, there should be accountability within our own selves. It's not fair for me, for my son, and the baby that I'm brewing now to be responsible for my wellness when I'm older and for my care.
That's right. It's your responsibility.
It's my responsibility. So I need to know. And it's best to know now before it's too late, because I don't plan on getting dementia or Alzheimer's, but it's a possibility.
I refuse.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah, I'm against it.
So let me ask you something, Paul.
But it could happen.
Can I point out something, though, that proves that she's Irish? That's the first time I've ever heard anybody who's pregnant say, I'm brewing a baby.
You guys brew, everything.
Kind of there. Just got to point that out.
Still in the bag. Okay, but
a little Guinness baby here.
I'm going to point.
How'd you know the name?
Guinness. So I'm
Jameson.
Jameson
is, and actually those are pretty good names. I should have
they are
them
both great names.
Right.
Too funny.
But let me ask you this, Paul, as a boomer, okay?
Yes.
Because I've said this to you. I've said to you.
This has been a lot of fun today, here, guys.
I've said to you that I see a connection between grandparent and grandchild.
You've always said that.
Right, from a boomer and a millennial, and there's a lot of information, a lot of like passion. But maybe more in-person involvement, and maybe this is more of a digitally connected involvement. But the core basis, I think, generationally, between a millennial and a boomer, there is a correlation.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of a grandparent and a grandchild talking to one another and overstepping the parent element, is higher likely than a child to parent, boomer to a Gen Xer, or the other way around.
Well, because you're not there to discipline.
So I think
grandparents aren't there to discipline.
And we've talked about saying, look, let's have a town hall meeting where it's boomers and millennials. And let's just throw out topics and have, because I think you have just seen an example of this.
Yeah.
Right?
You've had a couple of, what was the other two?
We had two ladies that were involved in actually senior care in Beverly Hills. Uh-huh. And they were both millennials. And again, you know, I appreciate you guys letting me kind of go there, because I find that with seniors, any kind of care, and you guys are in a care industry, basically. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be massage format. But when it comes to seniors, there's always a personal connection.
Yes. Yeah, that's,
you don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think there's money in them. There are hills,
right.
and go there. Yes, there may be money, but there's...
Because we care. We'd be in a different industry if money was the bottom
line.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Although I have to say...
But there's that reward that you get from what you do that fulfills a part of your makeup, your soul, if you will.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's not maybe monetized per se, but it's as real.
But absolutely. At the same time, it sounds like a tremendous business opportunity because the baby boom is now entering those, I forgot the statistics.
Yeah, aging is a growth market.
And it's also trademarked and patent pending, so yeah, you are a competition.
Right, yeah.
So what do you think?
And our training material is being copywritten as well. So.
Awesome, actually. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And if you could just serve alcohol while you're doing it, everything would be better.
If that's your
wellness. Margarita Mondays.
Margarita Massage Mondays.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but let me ask you, Paul, as a boomer. Right.
Didn't you have somebody here with skinny martinis or what was
Yes,
that?
We had Spa Girl cocktails.
Those are so good.
Who are friends of mine from Spa Girl cocktails.
They're so good.
Cucumber and
because while I was getting massaged, they were
pear infused vodka.
Because when so they good. Were doing the massage in here, we were drinking skinny girl.
Yes, we had Spa Gregory's
those
here. We had Spa Girl
together,
cocktails,
yeah.
And you were being massaged. And I was laughing
that.
My ass off.
What a great day at work.
Yeah.
Right.
Really.
But let me ask you because millennials get a bad rap.
Amen.
Yes.
But we need to do better.
Okay, but you guys, but you guys
and
get
it's
a better
fault.
But I don't think I don't. I absolutely do not think it's
care.
Deserved.
They're slackers.
Deserved. See, that's the rap you get, right?
Care. We are on the cusp, actually. If I could,
yeah. By definition, I will not accept that I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
you're just at the bottom of Gen Xers here. Okay.
So let me ask you as a boomer.
Yeah.
Okay. As an endorsement of the millennial generation that as represented by these ladies that are here, right?
Okay.
Where's the slacker? Do you see any slacking? Do you see? I see innovation. I see creativity. I see commitment, passion, involvement.
If you ask most boomers, we all shake our heads like everybody.
Boomers,
just throwing that out there.
We all shake our heads like every generation did at our children.
Yeah,
and we all say, "What the hell were they thinking?" And what I can't believe this. They all want to be CEOs in the first week. Mm-hmm. They all want it now. There is no waiting or working for stuff.
So your discreditation of a millennial generation, or you're putting down a millennial generation, is in its own self. Generational bias.
Yes.
Okay.
But
now,
I'm going to agree with you because I have so many friends who exactly expect
to be. I had him on the roof.
Yeah.
You gave it. Thank you.
I know. I see it a lot.
God bless you, child.
It's 50-50. I see it a lot in our peers, but I myself and Corey and quite a few of the people that I know and surround myself are the hardest working people that we know. And we got our work ethic from our parents and really from our grandparents.
Yeah.
When I was coming up the hard way working on things, and nobody said, "Are you happy? Would you like to play some ping pong today?"
Exactly.
And everything. And nowadays, they seem to be a coddle generation. And, of course, the other common complaint is, and we did this to them, everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy from the moment you play. Nobody's ever negative or anything here.
There's, participation awards.
Yeah. And so we created this, and then we're wondering why they're going out. And everybody's so mean to me. I can't do this.
So I'm curious. Your parents or your grandparents, I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit, are they self-employed?
It is loud and proud in our family.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's also part of the story here.
I think across the board, they're all entrepreneurs. On our father's side, our grandparents migrated from England, settled
after World War II.
After World War II. Mm-hmm.
And let me just jump in here. Our grandfather... he was 15 years old when he lied about his age
in order
to sign up to serve for the British Army.
There you go.
And afterwards came back to what was their decimated farm town. And my grandfather and my grandmother were the only two people of age to marry each other.
Yeah.
So they did.
No choice. That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Slim pickings there.
Yeah.
So
were they Irish though, or living in England?
No, this is Wales.
This is Wales. Well, that's sort of the same.
This
thing.
Is Wales.
Okay. Yeah, the Welsh and the Irish are
the Welsh.
So they actually, they came to Canada, settled in Canada
Wales
for a bit, then
flight,
came
the
to the United States, watched the 91 freeway be built. Which,
and what did they do though? What was their
and they were engineers, and our grandfather manufactured
rain lamps.
I'll email you a picture.
You'll remember gold rain lamp. Everybody in the 70s had a gold rain lamp. It was like the
thing. With the wire and the oil
and
would
statue
drip down.
On the inside.
Oh, yeah.
And they were gold leafed.
Yeah, statue with the
strings?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then our grandfather, whose birthday is today, has one patent.
He has one patent.
See, this is always going around the family rumor mill. Does he have two or one?
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
Because
yeah.
I think he likes to say he has two.
And
but
I believe
we discovered he really
yeah. Well, things get bigger at the age.
He's
I'll
an president or vice president of the National Jazz and Blues Society.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
I'm
yeah,
big.
You
we love oh, jazz well, in this
yeah.
thing.
Oh, Jim Jones, he's got like the largest archive of
bluegrass music.
Oh, and bluegrass. Yeah. Oh, well, bluegrass is.
No, I'm sorry. I said that wrong. It's big band. Swing era music. So he started collecting just the sheets of, like, if he had a piano section or just a banjo section of a particular song, then he would get that. And then and he was just buying people's archives out of their estates, and he grew this thing in the garage. Not to my grandmother's liking. All right. And so then the boxes in the garage grew so much so that they're now – it's at ASU. And the Smithsonian has his...
Yeah. And our grandmother, his wife, is a community activist, and she's been on the board with the local library for...
Rancho Palos Verdes.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, got the chance to meet and hear Michael Feinstein, who's kept that era alive.
Yeah.
And he's much younger. I think he must be in his 40s or something now or something. But he performs, he's a piano player. And he met the great Ira Gershwin, who wrote a lot of this stuff, right as he was dying, and became like his personal assistant and started collecting all this stuff. And he goes around the country and finds people out of these literally garage sales that have these orchestrations of these big band arrangements, and he buys this stuff in mass.
In boxes in their garage.
Yeah, exactly. And he talked about this. There was a special on PBS about this, how he has a large collection of this stuff, trying to keep that era of jazz, big band jazz stuff alive.
That's awesome.
Passionate people.
So to answer your question, absolutely, it's in the blood. And our parents as well, they've always been hardworking and driven to create and prosper.
Well, because there's a factor of risk, right? I mean, just in terms of establishing something like that. So I think also being around it, you're not scared. It's not as scary a thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so I applaud you guys for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for
give us your numbers and everything else.
How do people find out more? Yeah.
Visit us on the web at www.themassageinc.com.
But don't say you want to hook up.
Definitely don't do that. You'll find numerous ways to contact us. You may also reach us via phone at 1-800-696-9747.
And I know you guys are on Facebook. You're on social media.
Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I try to post articles. The Good Hands List, it's also a blog of industry information, and we feature every month a massage therapist of the month. So you can kind of get to know the people that are here, you know, taking care of your loved one.
Well, it's very personal, right? So it's great that you guys highlight people in that movie.
What an incredible opportunity. Well, I applaud your passion and your foresight for seeing this, and give us the name and the kind of thing. So there's Good Hands. What's the difference between Good Hands and the massaging?
So if you're a massage therapist interested in massaging seniors, go to thegoodhandslist.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are someone looking for massage for your services for your grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, yourself, go to themassageinc.com.
Now I got it. Okay.
Bingo.
And you can call us if you need any more information on this, or if you have any interesting ideas for shows. You can call me at 949-212-8299. That's my cell phone. And or you can reach us on Rod, R-A-A-D, period, Gantus, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com. Look us up on Facebook for Under the Rad Life. I'm shamelessly self-promoting all the time, so I'm sure you can find me if you really like.
Thank you, Rod, so much for having us, and Paul, too. I really appreciate it. It's been rad. It's been really get it? Oh, it's been rad.
That's it. Well,
Been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.